Welcome to the Court of Appeals. You may be seated. This is our first time back since March of 2020, so 2 years. So thank you for agreeing to be here in person. I understand that you are wondering if you can take your masks off when you argue, and you can when you're presenting your argument, okay? And I know that you both are experienced and know the rules. You each have 15 minutes, 5 minutes of rebuttal for appellant. And when you go to the podium, please state your name for the record. Okay, and with that, our first case. Is my speaker on?
I was wondering. I don't think so. Oh, it sounds like
it is. Okay. So the first case is A21-0925 in the matter of the application of Impact Power Solutions for a conditional use permit. Are you ready to proceed, counsel?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may then.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Patrick B. Steinhoff. I'm the attorney for the Relators Impact Power Solutions and a affiliated LLC. They were the applicants for a conditional use permit for a 1 megawatt community solar farm in Stearns County. And community solar farms are a conditional use that's allowed under the county's zoning ordinance. And I'll just cut to the point here. By making community solar farms a conditional use in this zoning district, the county has already decided as a matter of its legislative authority, as a matter of policy, that solar is okay in rural areas in Stearns County. If an applicant meets all the requirements that are listed in the ordinances for solar and for conditional use permits, the county has to let it happen. And it's clear from the record that many members of the County Planning Commission, many members of the County Board are having second thoughts about that.
Well, it's interesting to me that they had recently passed an ordinance that allowed the first solar farm on each property to go through administratively.
Well, Your Honor, so big picture, there's no reason why a county has to let solar anywhere at all. There's no law that requires it. Maybe there should be, but there's not. There's no law that says that a county can't adopt whatever restrictions it wants to in its ordinance. It can adopt a numerical cap. It can adopt density restrictions. It can adopt spacing restrictions. Some counties do that. Wright County, right next door to Stearns County, has a 1 mile spacing requirement. All of that is within the county's zoning power under the county zoning statute, but there's nothing like that here in the county zoning ordinance.
Counsel, may yes. I ask, it seems like, as I read it, maybe you would disagree, but it seems like this really comes down to the agricultural use provision of the comprehensive plan. I think that's a main part of the argument, and a finding that primary land uses under that policy should be agriculturally oriented, et cetera, with limited ag business, solar and wind, recreational, and so on. And then I think the decision by the county, or the argument of the county, is that requires some balancing of how much solar you want in a given area within the county, and whether that violates having an agriculturally oriented, it violates a policy that way. And given our standard of review especially, what's wrong with that argument such that we would reverse a county's judgment on that?
So on that particular finding, Your Honor, I would say it's arbitrary. You know, the standard of review is rational basis, and that means different things depending on what case you look at, but it has to be legally sufficient, there has to be facts in the record, and it can't be arbitrary and capricious. So you have that one word in the comp plan, limited, right? And the county is essentially saying that at the time of the vote, we think 4 is okay, but 5 isn't. 280 acres is okay, but 285 isn't. So it's an arbitrary number that they could have put in their zoning ordinance, but they're making up at the time of the county board vote. Now,
do they have to have that number, though? I guess, like, does that mean that everyone who wants a solar, like, is there any point in which they could decide, no, this is too many, it's no longer agriculturally oriented? Where is that line that it becomes arbitrary? Or do you think it has to be numerically?
Your Honor, I think solar is already limited in many, many ways in the ordinance and in the comp plan. Later in the comp plan, there's all these clean energy policies that you have to comply with in order for solar to be allowed. In the ordinance itself, there's pages of requirements. I mean, the fact that it's a conditional use in the first place is a limitation. You can't do this as a matter of right. You have to apply for it, and you have to meet all these criteria. Mm-hmm. And there's so many criteria that I didn't even put them on in the brief because I wanted to save space. But there's a conditional use permit ordinance that has all these requirements. There's a solar ordinance that has all these requirements. And those are significant limitations, and they're specific. And the applicant knows what the applicant has to do when he or she or it submits an application.
I was curious about the land itself because just looking at the aerial photos, it doesn't look like a gravel pit from it. And when the solar farm is at its end of its useful life, it was going to revert to a field. And the farmer said that the project would be put on some of the property's better stuff. So I assume he means better agricultural land. Isn't that something, it seems to me, that the county took into account?
Your Honor, the facts in the record about the condition of the site are that it hasn't been classified as prime farmland. So they have a classification system in Stearns County, and my client picked this site because it wasn't prime farmland. So when it did that, it relied on the county's comp plan to pick a site. The farmer said that, but he also said it was an old gravel pit and it had light soils.
And it looks like a field from the aerial photos.
It is a field. Well, the way I look at the comments about good farmland and bad farmland in the record, those are general comments. I mean, the county board members are saying that there's too much solar in Stearns County. It's taking over too much farmland. We don't want that anymore. And it's, like I said, it's fine for them to do that. But let me put it this way. It's really, really complicated to put together a solar farm conditional use permit application. You have to tie up a site that's flat with sun next to a substation. There's design costs, engineering costs. You have to pay non-refundable money to Xcel. And when an applicant does that, it does it in reliance on the things that are written in the ordinance. And for it to do all of those things in reliance on what is written on the page in the ordinance and then get to the finish line and find out that, we have 280 acres, we don't want 285 acres. That's just not fair to the applicant. And getting back to the arbitrary point with Judge Smith, if you're gonna do that, put it in the ordinance. So applicants know what the rules are so they can pick a site somewhere else. If the county thinks there's four is too many solar farms in Payne Township or whatever, the applicant can pick a site in some other township. If the county board thinks that 285 acres is too many, then maybe they won't. They'll go to Wright County and not Stearns County. But you can't do stuff like that after they've spent all the money and spent all the time and tied up the land and they're in front of the planning commission or the board and you tell them, five's too many. That to me is classic arbitrariness. And I guess the first rule of land use law is you can't be arbitrary. And that's a really discretionary standard for the government, as Mr. Squires will tell you, I'm sure, but...
Speaking of the law, so in reading the cases, you both cited to Hubbard and Barton, and
correct.
In those cases, they talk about a special use permit. Is that what conditional use permits used to be called?
They're interchangeable terms. Before we had a statute, they used special use and conditional use interchangeably. Now we have a statute that calls them conditional use permits, so everybody uses that term. But back in the 70s and 80s, it's the same thing. So in the Hubbard case, for example, that city, I think it was Afton, didn't allow satellite dishes as special uses at all. So that was a no-go from the start. And then Barton, there was a reference to the comp plan, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to consider when approving or denying a conditional use permit. But there were actually facts in the record that whatever the gravel pit that was proposed actually had adverse environmental consequences, whereas here, I don't think there are any facts in the record that aren't super, super general in nature. You know, we don't like solar, we like farmland, therefore we deny. I don't think there's enough facts in the record as to this site to support a denial of this location based on the comp plan. And speaking of the standard of review, I'll just, it is a rational basis. It is generally very discretionary to the government, but a conditional use permit decision is what they call quasi-judicial. So the county is applying standards that it's already adopted legislatively and applying them to facts that are presented by the applicant and at the public hearing. So there's a lot less discretion than some other kinds of decisions that are also subject to rational basis review, like a rezoning decision. That's rational basis as well, but the county or the city doesn't have to apply these standards that it's already adopted, so the discretion is much more confined, you know, which is why we're talking about these very specific things, because, the county has... It actually says in its resolution of denial that the applicant meets all the requirements in the ordinance, which is all you need to do to get a conditional use permit, is comply with the requirements in the ordinance. And if you do that, the county or the city doesn't have discretion to deny the application. The case for counties is Yang versus Carver County that says that most specifically.
Council, I have a question. You said it's not fair that you would satisfy all the requirements and then the county would turn you down. They should let you know or have a rule so you don't have the time or expense that you invested or your client invested. Is there any way for you to communicate with the county before you apply for the conditional use permit to find out kind of where they're leaning on these things?
Your Honor, that should be...
And this is sort of a practical question for my own information.
Well, you know, the county has a planning staff that processes the application, and, you know, you'd like to think that they would convey to the applicant where the county board is on this stuff at the time of application, but all of that should be memorialized in the ordinance. I mean, you should be able to read the ordinance, see the requirements, submit an application that complies with all those requirements and know whether you're going to get approved or denied. And, you know, sometimes, there's stuff that allows for wiggle room, but if it's a matter of how many solar farms do we allow in this county, that should be in the ordinance. If they're going to have a cap, they need to adopt an ordinance that imposes a cap. And I think, as Judge Riley noted, as this application was making its way toward the county board, the county was actually amending its ordinance, and it adopted all sorts of extra requirements for solar farms, but it didn't adopt any density requirements. It didn't adopt any numerical caps. It could have done any of those things while it was amending its ordinance, and it's a complicated question whether that would have applied retroactively to this application, but it doesn't matter because the county didn't do any of that stuff.
So it sounds like your legal, with respect to the reasonable legal reason, you would have us hold that based on the language of the ordinance and even the comprehensive plan, it doesn't place a cap, that any solar farm, no matter how many of them, how concentrated there are, how many of them that satisfy the solar farm requirements, that the county must approve them. Otherwise, it would be arbitrary action because there's no cap in the ordinance. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. If they're going to, if the county's going to deny it based on the word limited, which could mean anything, I mean literally anything, if they're going to do that and then they're going to have a four but not five, yes.
Or 80 but not 81. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. It's like,
sure.
It seems
I mean, some of this is kind of a ridiculous hypothetical because solar is self-limiting. I mean, Xcel only takes so many community solar farms. You can only have so many solar farms because Xcel is the only utility that does it, and you got to build them in certain places. So it's a red herring. All these board members and planning commission members that are worried that the county is going to be covered from end to end with solar panels, that's just not possible. But I mean, if you have a residential zoning district, there's no reason why you can't have a house every single acre for the entire county. And if you meet the requirements in the ordinance, the county has to let that happen. And if it doesn't want that to happen, then it amends its ordinance. It's the same deal here. I mean, if they don't want solar panels from one end of the county to the other, which isn't possible, but they need to put something in their ordinance that lets people like my client know before they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, hey, there's already too many solar panels in this county. We don't want any more. We're going to deny your application. Don't even bother applying.
Mr. Steinhoff, you've gone over. I don't know. Can you see the time?
I can. I was facing Judge Smith,
yeah,
so
I know.
You know, it's kind of a different setup than
it is
last time I was here.
So you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Unless either of you have more questions.
Thank you.
At this time, no.
Thanks.
My glasses unfogged for a moment here. Members of the court, Jay Squires appearing on behalf of Stearns County. It is a pleasure to be back after 2 years, although my Court of Appeals suit's a little snugger than it was 2 years ago. I'll have to work on that. As is typically the case, I'm going to throw my detailed outline in the garbage and try to answer the questions that you have because those appear to be most on your mind. And I'd like to start out with Judge Smith's question. Does the county have to have a quantifiable standard in an ordinance on a topic like this? The answer is no. It doesn't have to have a quantifiable standard. A number of thoughts in that regard. A county could have adopted, certainly Stearns County or any other county for that matter, could have adopted a quantifiable standard, a density standard that says only X number of solar facilities in this geographic area or in this township. But in this case, Stearns County chose not to. They have in their comp plan the use of the phrase limited. Now, when you think about it, that actually can slice in favor of an applicant because assume, for example, in this case, Stearns County would have said, we'll only allow five solar facilities within a five-mile area. Well, an applicant can come in this particular case. The applicant couldn't even have made an application because there are five within the one-mile area. There's one pending and four existing ones as well. But the flexibility of taking this approach without a quantifiable standards gives an applicant the opportunity to present to the county and the county board the opportunity to say, in this particular case, that's okay. They're going to be 3.9 miles away from this cluster of existing facilities, and that's okay. So land use decision-making processes are inherently subjective. And I think, Judge Smith, your question actually goes exactly to an issue we talked about in 2017. I think you authored the first solar case involving Carver County back in that situation. As you recall, that was a CUP decision that was denied, and that denial was sustained. And that was a question of the county board making a determination that a proposed solar project was too close to an existing dairy operation. Now, that county didn't have a setback requirement for dairy standards. They just had the CUP for dairy operations. They just had the CUP standards where they had to make a decision and decide, was that too close under the circumstances? Now, I'm glad in your question you used the phrase too many, because that's exactly what we have here. We have the same case as we had there where the county determined too close, where in this case the county's determined too many. And it's simply wrong to say a county, as Mr. Steinhoff says, a county doesn't have the ability to have subjective flexible standards to apply in a case.
It's a very sympathetic argument that one should know in advance of putting together a proposal, especially when the comprehensive plan, I mean, one of the four policies is an encouragement of solar farms. You know, it's not like this is, you know, all about, you know, agriculture and maybe the occasional permit. I mean, it's actually one of the things that the county seems to be encouraging by making it one of its four actual policies under that pillar for agriculture use. So, I mean, I could appreciate reading the comprehensive plan and putting together, you know, spending money putting together a proposal, and then it's like, no, we want it mostly agriculture. This, we've reached our limit, I guess. I don't know if it's a limit in Painesville, the limit in the county. Like, what does this mean with respect to the county as a whole? What's one to interpret from all of that?
Well, I understand the comment, and there's never any guarantee when you go in that you're going to get a conditional use, and I think that was Judge Larkin's question as well. Certainly staff is a resource. You can go into staff and you can talk to staff. Staff can't make any guarantee about what an elected body is going to do in applying a conditional use permit, so it's always a roll of the dice. I would also say in response to the question that though that cluster of solar facilities right by this proposed project location existed already. So it's not rocket scientists to know that they're all there, and the comp plan is a public document, and everybody has constructive knowledge of ordinances and documents as well. So I appreciate the concern that they'd like to know before they invest even a dollar whether they're going to get a permit or not, but that's not practical. And that information is available to them.
So in the resolution itself, it was a little confusing when I read it because it starts out, I'm looking at paragraph, it's numbered 2, the proposal does conform to the comprehensive plan. And then I think what you meant is that it conformed with regard to the clean energy policies 1, 2, and 5.
I might have polished this up a little bit more, Your Honor, had I had my fingers on it, but I read it the same way. I think that certainly an application can conform with some parts of a comp plan and not conform with others, and I think that's how I read it as well.
I was going to ask you also, because relators argued about the number of hours devoted to construction, environmental concerns about fencing and recycling concerns, findings related to the Alta survey, whether the county received input from the township, and there are several others. You didn't really respond to those in your brief.
No, when a county considers a conditional use permit, it may have a whole host of reasons for taking the action it does. And what case law says, that's the Trisco case, that only one reason needs to be legally sufficient. So it's often the case when I come before a panel where there have been a host of reasons that really the best conversation we can have is about the key principal reasons. So we brief and address some of those issues in the brief, but it would be my intent today to focus on what's the real issue in this case.
So I did have questions about that, because I think you actually even footnote that some of them are not legally supported or factually supported. So I wanted to focus on what are the actual reasons that we should be looking at. And when I look at, there's a citation to the agricultural use policy, and it quotes it.
Yep.
Okay, so it quotes the policy. Then, or it says it doesn't conform with it. Where's the explanation of why it doesn't conform with, you know, the agricultural use policy 1, 2, 3, and 4? Does it explain why it doesn't conform with that?
I think the findings on page 2 address the particular comprehensive plan provisions that discuss those policies. The comprehensive plan is record document 11 that contains those particular policies as well.
Right, so when I look at the... When I look at the agricultural use policy and it says 1, 2, 3, and 4, that's quoting the agricultural use policy, yeah. Right? So what if 1, 2, 3, or 4 is not conformed with? And where does it explain that paragraph 1, 2, 3, or 4 is not conformed with?
Well, I think it's subsumed in my reading of the ordinance. The board concludes that it's not consistent with those particular statements based on all the evidence that was provided in the hearings. So we've had, as I recall, there were four hearings and transcripts where all these particular issues were discussed. So I think the finding of the board on these points is that this particular solar project runs afoul of these particular elements in the comp plan.
So it runs afoul of paragraphs 1, 2, 3, and 4 under the agricultural use policy.
Yeah, it runs afoul of the comprehensive plan goals and policies that are set forth in record document number 11.
Okay, it's just confusing to me because I guess I would like to understand why. It doesn't, you know, like for example, number 4 is all about prime farmland. I mean, it doesn't, is this prime farmland? Is that something we need to look at? Is 4 even very relevant to us, or are we focused more on one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, I always, in retrospect, I like to say, boy, it'd be nice to have 20 pages of detailed findings like an administrative law judge might do, but the practical reality judge when you're dealing throughout the state of Minnesota is that they do their best at providing the rationale for their decision, and here are 3 pages from my experience is a pretty good recitation of here's what we thought were the issues in this case.
Is the crop and product diversification policy, do you argue that that actually is a basis anymore?
The crop diversification policy?
Yeah.
No, I think the issues are, and I'd like to at least answer Judge Riley's question she had, I think the issues are the limited language and the flexibility the county has to be able to consider that, the fact that's supported by record fact, the existence of the operations in the area, et cetera. But the second issue, I think, the second part of the comp plan is the nature of this land as agricultural uses, which I think was Judge Riley's question. And that is also supported by record fact as well. Now, we don't argue about when a court looks at a decision, you ask, is there a legally sufficient reason supported by some record fact? We agree that there are legally sufficient reasons here. All we're talking about is the record fact. So I've talked about limited, but I'd like to talk before my time runs out about the question raised by Judge Riley about the property at issue. And correct the fact, this property is good ag land. It has high value. There are record facts to support that. I refer you to Exhibit G in the application. Now, the artificial construct that the applicant has made in this case is that unless it's dark green on a comp plan map that calls it prime farmland, it can't be of value agriculturally, and that's incorrect. If you look at Exhibit G, that's a blow-up of the comprehensive plan map, and that comprehensive plan map identifies prime farmland soils of 3 different types. There's dark green, there's light green, and there's, as I recall, yellow. This is light green, which is farmland of statewide importance. And it is prime farmland soil on this particular site. That's a fact. We have in the record the board members' knowledge of the historical use of this property. Sometimes the best evidence we ever get is these people that have lived in the area forever to say, I remember back in 1964, this is what was going on the site. We have that in the record. We know of the past historical farming of this site. We have aerial photos that show us it's being farmed currently. We have an applicant concession that acknowledges that this is some of the best ground on his particular farm site.
And is this relevant because of paragraph 4 under agriculture use policy, or why do we care whether it's prime or not?
This is relevant because going back to the consistency with the comp plan and the comp plan record document number 11, the particular statements in the comp plan that indicate that it's intended to support agriculture, retain areas with highly valued ag land, I'd say for ag purposes, and to protect prime farmland. So there are three goals and policies that deal with the nature of these soils and the board's conclusions that this is good ag land that should be reserved for ag. And to the extent solar facilities want to be located, it should be, they should be located on not good ag land as well. So the comp plan reason is broken up into those two parts. The limited, the flexibility that the county has to be able to consider the right it has under state law and its ordinance to say too many, because after all, as your question, Judge Smith, indicated, there has to be a point where it's too many. And that's the first part. And the second part is the preservation of these good farm sites as well.
And
on both fronts, there's record evidence to support it. And case law says that's all you as judges look for. Is there more than a scintilla of evidence to support the decision? If there is, and I say this with respect, it's your obligation to exercise judicial restraint.
And okay, so that highly...
I'm having a hard time with my timing, too, but I think I have a couple minutes.
You have 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
So the highly valued agriculture, that comes from the goals of the comp plan, is that right?
Comp plans are general guiding statements, and they oftentimes use flowery language like goals and policies and objectives and things like that. So,
so page 6 of your addendum. I was just trying to find it.
Record document number 11 is the best document to reference that summarizes all these things we're talking about that has goals and policies as well. And that's the basis for the decision. Aside from these other issues we brief, I'm not going to spend time talking about. That's the important thing in this case.
Judge Smith?
I wondered whether, as to the other issues, though, I mean, I know that just one is needed, but let's say we rejected the your argument on the first one. You raised three other issues, I think, reasons. And there is a reply brief on that, like, for example, on the DNR review of rare plants. Could you speak to, I mean, do you stand by the argument about the...
Yeah, there's a disagreement on whether it's on a list that there's definitively been identified, whether it's, and to be honest, I can't recall what the rare species, a plant or animal, whether it was a Blandin turtle or a plant, but there was undisputed evidence that they may be present. Now, they say, well, it's not on a list, and therefore... that's not an issue, but the fact that they acknowledged in their application there may be the presence of rare plants or animals in the site, I think is a fair consideration for a CUP. The last one as well, the board also noted that the application was inconsistent with the preservation of scenic views in the area. I would say, Judge, that really bootstraps into the comp plan analysis too. The preservation of ag land is really kind of the same as a standard of we want to preserve open areas in this part of the county. So that one as well, I think, is consistent with the analysis. The construction disturbances, you know, I think that's kind of a small issue, and I would concede if that was the only thing we were here arguing about and that was the sole basis for the CUP decision, I'd probably have a tough time arguing that with you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Mr. Steinhoff, any rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just want to touch on a few things in response to Mr. Squire's comments. First of all, I just want to emphasize how little thought went into this resolution. I think it was Judge Smith that was trying to find where in the findings it gave the reasons why this application isn't in conformance with the comprehensive plan. And all of that goes back to the Planning Commission, because the county board itself couldn't agree on findings, so they just adopted verbatim findings that the Planning Commission made in its recommendation to the county
board. And as I understand it, procedurally, between the time of the Planning Commission and the time of the board meeting, for instance, let's look at allowing construction of the solar farm 7 days a week. Well, you had agreed to limit it to Monday through Friday. Your client had.
Right, Your Honor, there's three pages of findings. Almost all of them either were fixed. I mean, there's things like typos and stuff like that that was addressed by the applicant. There's citations to the wrong ordinance because they changed their ordinance. there's things, most of the findings relate to things that don't tie back into anything in the ordinance itself, like this DNR comment business, the soil disturbance. I mean, there's pages and pages of findings that don't relate to anything that's actually a requirement in the ordinance. With respect to the comp plan, if you look at the Planning Commission transcript, document 14, pages 62 to 64, the Planning Commission member who made this recommendation picked up a copy of the comp plan and just started reading policy statements from the comp plan. No explanation, no analysis. So I think it's clear just from reading the transcripts of the hearing that there's a fair amount of animus towards solar in rural Stearns County, which is not uncommon. And they were just looking for reasons to put into this resolution to justify a decision that they already had in their head, which is we don't want any more solar.
Although it was interesting to me that the Planning Commission had a really close vote. It was 4-3.
It was very, very close at the Planning Commission, and it was so close at the county board that they couldn't even agree to findings. I mean, that's, you know, a majority agreed to deny the application, but they couldn't get a majority to agree on the reasons why. That's not common. And that is interesting. But, so yeah, I mean, in response to Judge Smith's question to Mr. Squires, there is no explanation of any of this. It's just something they came up with on the fly. And, you know, Mr. Squires is doing his best to give a, you know, post hoc justification for it, but there wasn't any thought put into it. Second, I want to push back on some of the things that Mr. Squires says. There's no guarantee that you're going to get a CUP. It's inherently subjective. It's a roll of the dice. No. The whole point of a CUP, all of that is true with respect to adoption of a zoning ordinance or a rezoning or something like that. But the whole point of a CUP is you have objective standards so people, companies like my client, know what the standards are, and they can submit an application that conforms to the objective standards in the ordinance, and that's the basis of their application. I mean, all of this that we're talking about, what does limited mean? Is five too many as opposed to four? Is it really good farmland, even though I think if you read the very beginning of the very first public meeting on this, the planner himself, the county planner, says not prime farmland, which is why they picked the site in the first place. All of that is so subjective and so arbitrary that you shouldn't allow a county board to use it as a basis to deny a CUP application, because the whole point of a CUP application is to have objective standards that the applicant can target, and if they meet those standards, they should get the permit. Subject to your questions, I'll yield my. I don't have any more time, so I won't yield anything.
Thank you very much. This was really a good argument to hear. First time back in 2 years. Thank you both for your briefing and for your arguments.
Thank you.